church. Amen? And so it's important for you and I to make sure that we are positioning ourselves or repositioning ourselves to say, all right, Holy Spirit, I'm going to do everything possible in Christ to be healthy, to be whole, and to be moving forward. And so I want to pray right up front. I want to pray over this message. I'm not going to speak long, but I do have something on my heart that I believe God laid on my heart. It's tying into Gideon that my wife did an incredible message last week about. And she, if you didn't hear the message, it was very, very good. It was amazing and messy. The title of her message was Messy Mind, Messy Life. And so it was all about guarding the thoughts and guarding what's coming in and what to do with things and people and influences and words that are spoken over to you. And how many know to be healthy, it requires work. Somebody shout work. To be healthy, to guard your mind, to be all that God's called you to be, it requires work. It just doesn't happen. Amen? And so I've got a message on my heart that I believe that God is going to encourage you. He's going to strengthen you, and I believe he's going to challenge you. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for this morning, God. Lord, I am standing humbly before you, Lord, and I'm asking today, use the words, God, out of your word. Lord, use the words, God, that you've written on my heart, Father, to speak life, strength, hope. Lord, let it speak peace, but God, I thank you, let it create change on the inside of us. Father, let every heart be open. Let every eye, let every ear, God, be open this morning to hear your word, to see your word, God. And I thank you in advance that you are responsible for the results. Holy Spirit, we release you right now to do an incredible work in the lives and the hearts of your people. In Jesus' name, if you agree, shout a big, loud amen. If you remember, if you want to flip over to the book of Judges, is that in the Old Testament or the New Testament? It was a little bit of a game there for all this. My daughter was up here earlier, and someone leaned over, and she was killing the guys up here. And I was like, "Girl power!" And And then where's Steve at? Steve was like, "Yeah, he was all into it." I mean, I thought he was going to take the Bible for his kids, right? That's just kind of what dads do. Amen. Don't ever tell me that you're not competitive. Amen. I mean, you get some of y'all folks in at a trip to Marshall's on the Black Friday. You're competitive. My wife says she's not competitive. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You give her a good sale at Dillard's, I guarantee you she will throw some elbows. So if you look at the book of Judges, I don't have time to review everything that she talked about last week, but I just want to kind of set up what the story is, what I want to talk about this morning. If you look at through the book of Judges, every chapter started out, or every book started the same way, with each of the judges that God put in charge of God's people. The story went something like this, that they basically, through whining and through complaining and through disobedience and through all the things that we shouldn't be doing, they ended up homeless, they ended up hungry, and they ended up humiliated. Now, that was kind of the story. I'm giving you the cliff notes, right? They complained, they whined, they ended up getting their crops devoured, and at the end of the day, they got just really humbled by the enemy. But it was because of their whining and their complaining. And so God, in his infinite patience, he demonstrated patience, he demonstrated goodness, and throughout the book of Judges, in every chapter, it was God's timing. God did exactly what he wanted to do, when he wanted to do it, and how he wanted to do it. And it was because of God's people that ultimately created God to have to intervene. Have you ever noticed that the more we whine, the more we complain, it feels like God is the farthest away? You know, the more that we complain about our situation, the more that I'm just waiting on you. You tell me when you're ready to get off of Tim and onto me, amen? When you're ready to redirect your prayer life away from woe is me into God. And so throughout Judges, that's what it was all about. It was all about this process. And so if you're in the book of Judges, I'm going to start in verse 11, chapter 6. We've got it behind you if you don't have a Bible with you. It says, then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash of the clan of Abiezer. Gideon, the son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of a wine press to hide the grain from the Midianites. Angela talked all about those folks last week. Bad, bad people. The angel of the Lord, verse 12, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." Say, that means me. That's me, right? "The Lord is with you." Verse 13, "Sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, then why has all of this happened to us? Where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt? But now, look at it. The Lord has abandoned us, and we've been handed over to the Midianites." More whining, more complaining about their situation. Verse 14, "But I thank God that God doesn't really care about our whining." Because here he said, again, verse 14, "Then the Lord turned." He turned to him. He made an intention to turn to him. "Then the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go with the strength you have, with the strength you have, and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you,'" verse 15, "'But Lord,'" Gideon replied, "'how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family.' The Lord said to him, 'I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man.'" How many men? One man. "Gideon replied, 'If you are truly going to help me, show me a sign to prove that it is really the Lord speaking to me. And don't go away until I come back and bring my offering to you.'" And so Gideon then goes through a series of tests to prove that this really is God. Do you think God answered him? You bet he did. Amen. He proved that despite his doubts, despite his having to have a sign, that he in fact was God. The title of my message this morning is "I Can." Will you write that down? I can. See, there are these two classrooms. A study was done many years ago. One classroom, they basically took the same class that had graduated from the year past, and there's roughly, I think, 30 or 35 students. I don't remember the exact number. They split them in half, and all of these kids were basically about the same skill level in terms of their grades, in terms of their ability to grab a hold of information. And so it was a brand new school year, similar to what is happening this past week and what's happening this week. It was a brand new school year, and so they decided to do a little bit of a test. And so as they split these students, they split them in half, roughly 12 to 13 students in each class. And what they did for the one class, they gave them every tool, they gave them every bit of training, they gave them every bit of encouragement, they gave them every bit of affirmation about who they are and what they can do, and don't quit, and make sure that if you've got questions on any of the material, they gave them laptops, they gave them access to Wi-Fi, they gave them everything they needed in order to be successful. The other class, they did nothing for. They didn't encourage them. In fact, they did the opposite. When a student had a problem, they would indicate, "Well, just figure it out on your own." They never gave that class affirmation. They didn't give them all the tools that they needed to succeed. In fact, all that teacher was doing in that classroom was just standing there, not doing a whole lot other than what the book told the teacher to do. And so at the midway point of that particular school year, they did a before post test, or they did a at the beginning of the year, they did an assessment. Once again, all the students were roughly about the same grade level. By the middle of the school year, they did another assessment of those two same classrooms. What's interesting is the classroom that had a teacher that was engaged, a teacher that was present, a teacher that was providing the tools and the resources, a teacher that was giving words of affirmation, a teacher that was coming up beside that young person, that student, and answering and supporting him or her. They were active in their life. They were active in their question. They were active in that student walking through and being all that he or she needed to be as a student. They were above grade level. unfortunately, the class that was the other class, that all the teacher was just there. They did that same assessment to that class, and by the midway point of the year, they were now a grade level behind. Isn't it interesting how same students, two different classrooms, two different outcomes? Why? This is the first point I want to talk about in the story of Gideon. God knows where you're at. So how does a story like Gideon tie into where you and I are at? Because regardless of which classroom you're in, God knows exactly where you're at. In the case of Gideon, my wife talked about it last week. If you go back and look at the story of where Gideon was, Gideon was found in a cave. Gideon was found, was sifting wheat in a wine press room or a wine press cave. Why? Because he was consumed with fear. God's people were hiding from the very people that were tormenting them, that were stealing their crops, that were robbing and raping and just doing incredibly horrible things to God's people. But despite the fact that all this was happening, God still knew how to reach a man named Gideon. God knows where you're at, regardless of what's happening, regardless of where you may think you can hide. Amen? In other words, it doesn't matter how far you and I run in life away from God's purpose, God always knows where you and I are at. I thank God for the reach. I thank God for the hand that when I didn't deserve it, somehow, someway, he found me in my cave. Has anyone ever been to a cave trying to hide from God? Amen? Have you ever thought that your sin was too great? My failures were too great? There's no way that God's love could ever reach me. But I thank God that God didn't look on the outside, but God looked on the inside of Gideon. He reached into that cave and he had a conversation with this man while he was in fear, while he was being tormented, while God's people on the outside were being robbed and stolen and beaten from. I thank God in Jeremiah 29:11, and I've rehearsed this scripture over and over and over, that God knows the plans he has for you and me. Amen? In other words, I don't have to buy into the lie of what other people are saying about me. Lord, I just got to know what you say about me. God, I know that I'm hiding in a cave, but God, I got to know that you know where I'm at. And God says, I know the plans I have for you. For you see, God has almost like a GPS device on you and me. God has a GPS device on you and me. No matter where I go, God can find me. Now, I know that I am probably not the most typical male, and I don't need any of the ladies to chime in on this one, but us guys, we have a habit of not asking for directions because we always know where we're going. We're just taking in the sights on the way there. Does anybody have an extra bed for Dave? How many know, as a man, the most humbling thing you can do is to say, honey, I'm lost. Guys, are you with me? I mean, it's incredibly humbling. And then your wife, my incredible wife, who is always supportive of me and always loving and always patient and always kind, which, by the way, we just celebrated her 50th birthday all week long at Pensacola Beach, and it was awesome. Amen. It was great to get away for a few days. And my loving wife, she would always say, it's okay, honey. It's all right that you're lost. Let me just help you. That is not true at all. In fact, what she said, she would say, I told you so, that you should have plugged the address into your phone. Hello, ladies? That's actually what she would say to me and does say to me. But I think I thank God that God knows where I'm at, where you're at. God is omniscient. God is omnipresent. God knows the beginning from the end. He's got your back, amen. Even when people say, I don't know, God says, I'm with you, amen. God knows where you're at. So that first point, God knows you're at. I'm calling this church out like never before. We will not hide any longer. Amen. We will not hide any longer. God is calling us out as a house like never before to be, to step, and to become all that God's asked us to be. Amen. We got 35 years of vision. We got 35 years of words. We got 35 years of promise. We got 35 years of where God has taken us, and we are just getting started. Amen. I'm not buying into the naysayers, the haters. I'm not buying into what the world says. God, I just want to know what you say. God, I just want to know what you say. God is calling us out of hiding. So stop your whining. Stop your complaining. He's calling us out. See ourselves to stand up. Biblically, stand up on the inside with knowing that God knows who I am, God knows where I'm at, and God knows where I'm going. Amen? Second point I want you to write down. First one, God knows where you're at. Second one, God speaks to who you will be. If you look back through that story that I read in verses 12 and 13, it talked about God called Gideon a mighty warrior. Folks, he was no more of a mighty warrior than you and I are. Amen? At that point in his life, he hadn't killed anything. He hadn't fought anything. He was hiding in the cave. He was trying to sift wheat because he was scared. He hadn't fought anybody. But I thank God that God saw ahead and he was speaking to who he will be. He was speaking to what God saw on the inside of him. For you see, God, Gideon was neither a mighty warrior nor a person of faith, but God was speaking faith on the inside of Gideon. Even though he didn't believe it, God still refused to accept any other answer than yes. For you see, I believe our church, as I was saying, I believe our church is stepping into some of the greatest days ahead. I'm going to speak just a little bit of vision over our house. I want to let you know about one of the things that I believe God has called us to be as a church like never before. And I'm proud of where God in the open doors over the last year, as many of y'all know, we have poured literally tens of thousands of pounds of food and stuff into our community. And that has birthed a vision that God has put on the inside of our house to be a distribution center, to be a distribution center of people around the world, to be a distribution center of wealth around the world. Amen? Just a quick praise report. We gave Jerry Backus, who, if you missed him a couple weeks ago, incredible, incredible story. Our generous church gave him over $3,000 we planted into his ministry. I couldn't be prouder of this church. Amen? We're not a big church, but we are a generous church. Amen? And man, he was overwhelmed by the goodness and the blessing of God. And so thank you for your generosity. But I just know God is stretching us like never before to truly become the very vision that my father-in-law, who's partying up in heaven right now, saw over this house. And part of that vision was not just to give away, not just to distribute money and stuff, but it was actually to become a distribution center in our community. And so we're launching in the next few weeks. We're launching. We literally have just started to set up a warehouse. We've got nearly 3,000 square feet of space completely donated to us. In that warehouse, we're going to be giving away everything that you can imagine. God, our prayers, God, if you can get it to us, you can get it through us. Amen. Our heart is to be able to help a ministry. If you've got, and we've developed just an incredible network of ministries over the last year. And so if you can imagine having a smaller church than us, not having the resources, not having the capability, but somehow, some way, if they're in need of something to help a family, to finish remodeling a house, to construct a church, to add seat, whatever it may be, I'm just believing God that we now have got the space, we have the resources, we have the people, and we have the partnerships. And for that, I'm incredibly thankful. I'm incredibly thankful. Amen. I'm incredibly thankful that God is stretching our vision in terms of how we're going to be multi-generational. That's why this morning was so incredible. I believe that we're calling in young people from the north, the south, the east, and the west. We're training them in our school. Will you believe that starting on Tuesday morning, we will have the most students that we've ever had walked in front of this campus coming this week? Amen? I believe God is stretching us in a way that we've started a high school this year. We had one many, many years ago, but it wasn't exactly what God called us to be, so we shut it down temporarily. But I believe now God is building it back up. That vision to educate, to train, to pour into the next generation, to become worship leaders, pastors, teachers, businessmen. Heck, I even hope someone comes to President of the United States. I believe God's called us to have a high school that produces that. Legacy Bible College, we kick off a new semester right after Labor Day. We're training up men and women. We're pouring in the Word of God in order to send them out. Amen? In order to build this house. In order to go plant new churches. In order to go supply mission fields around the globe. I'm stretching our faith because God is taking us somewhere. In the natural, it feels uncomfortable. How many know change is never comfortable? But if we don't need, if I can do it in my own strength, then why do we need God? If you and I can accomplish everything in front of us, then why do we need God? But God is stretching our faith like never before. He's stretching our faith as a church. He's stretching our faith as families. And he's stretching our faith as men and women. Amen? He's stretching our faith as men and women. Second part of God speaking to who you will be, he called Gideon a deliverer. So first thing he called him in verse 12 or 13, I believe, was a mighty warrior. The next part of that, he called them to be a deliverer. Once again, Gideon hadn't delivered anything by that point. Gideon was just simply sifting wheat in a cave. Mighty warrior, deliverer. Can I speak just a minute to all the moms and the dads? That story that I started the message with. Can I tell you that your words really do matter? Angela, my wife, talked about that message last week. Can I tell you that what you say and what you speak over your kids really does matter? I've talked about this before, that it is a trap of mine, and it's maybe a trap of yours, that whenever your student comes home, your child comes home, your grandchild comes home, and they hand you a report card. And the Holy Spirit literally caught me. This is a year or two ago. Literally, the Holy Spirit caught me because I was about to get on to my daughter about why she made a C on a report card. Now, that's a good grade. Don't get me wrong. I just expected higher. And so automatically, what does a mom or a dad do? You automatically go to the C. But what the Holy Spirit spoke to me is, what about all the other A's and B's that are on that report card? What about all the other things that she did do well instead of picking on the thing that she didn't do well? Are you with me? I'm glad that God speaks to who we will become, who we'll be, not who we are today. Amen? I thank God that Gideon couldn't allow the crutch of who he came from. If you remember, the Bible said that Gideon described himself as the weakest clan, as the least family member. I thank God that God still called, you are a mighty warrior and you will be a deliverer. Amen? He didn't allow him to use his family background and the dysfunction of where he came from in order to determine where he's going. That's just the kind of God that we serve, y'all. However, for you and I to become the person that God's called us to be, there is a process. That process for me to reach all my potential in Christ. And how many know that while you're in the process, that nothing can be more discouraging, nothing can be more frustrating, nothing can set you back quicker than watching other people get ahead while you're still feeling like you're stuck. Process is not easy, y'all. Process doesn't take something overnight. Well, I want to be successful. I want to own $1 million. I want to have a perfect family. I want to find the perfect wife. I want to, what you insert whatever it is. How many, it takes a process. Amen? It takes a process. And that process can take time. That process requires work. That process requires sacrifice. That process requires patience. I don't know about you, but I am a very impatient person. Anybody else that's something that God's having to teach me, is to be patient. In Psalm 37, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Don't worry about the wicked or the envy those who do wrong, for like grass they soon will fade away. like spring flowers, they soon will wither. In other words, don't get my eyes on people that are seemingly getting ahead of you and me. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Amen. Keep your eyes on where God has you. Keep your eyes on where God is saying he has taken you. Don't get consumed by the Joneses of the world. Amen. Don't get consumed by your Instagram feed about how he or she is living the perfect life when you don't really know when they're not have the camera in front of them. They are just a hot mess. Amen. There is a trap in society that you and I are supposed to be looking and measuring ourselves by how other people are living, and that is a lie. Amen? That's a lie. My measuring stick is the Lord. God, what do you say over me? He says he will order the steps. God orders you and I steps. Steps equal process. Process is going to take a while. You can't get to the destination just because you want it, just because you like it, just because you saw it, just because you complain about it. You have to wait on the Lord. You have to walk through the process. King David did that, didn't he? He was called. Think about the story of King David. He was called while he was still a shepherd. He was called while he was still tending sheep. I'm sure some conversation went something like this. Lord, why did you call me a king when I'm not acting, I'm not doing, I don't have the authority, I'm not managing anything. In fact, you put me back in the sheep field for another 30 years. Sounds like some of us, amen? You got this word hanging over you. You've got a dream on the inside of you about what you will become, but you're going through the process. You're going through the process. See, I want the process to speed up, but that can't happen. A blessing too soon is no blessing at all. It's sort of like handing my 9-year-old daughter the keys to my car and say, hey, will you go run up to the store and grab a loaf of bread? Same car, same keys, different person. But when she's 16, maybe, I'll hand her the keys and say, go for it. Go get us a loaf of bread. Amen? Because why? She would have gone through the process. I know, God, what you're saying, where I'm supposed to be, but I'm looking at where I'm at today. God, I need you to give me the help. I need you to give me the wisdom. I need you to give me the patience. I need you to give me the understanding. I need you to help me with the timing of this thing because I want to be there, but I am here. Have you ever had one of those conversations? I have. God, I want to be there, but you have me here. And he just says, hey, you're in the process. You're in the process. Don't rush the process. God's goodness is proven by his ability to say not yet. Write that down. Write that down. God's goodness is proven by his ability to say not yet. And right then, you and I have a choice. Do we whine? Do we complain? Or we just say, hey, God, I trust you. Do you realize the number one, I believe, one of the greatest attacks on us as human beings today is the word trust. Who do I trust? Can I trust you? Can I trust you as my spouse? Can I trust you as my pastor? Can I trust you as my leader? Can I trust the government? Can I trust my employer? Whatever it may be. The number one thing under attack today, I believe, is the ability for me to trust. Because if I can't trust anybody because people have ultimately failed me, then that reflects on my ability to trust a God who says he'll never leave you or let you down. Amen? And if you have that happen over and over and over again, then you will no longer trust. So point number two, God points you to where you will be. Philippians 4:13, probably my favorite verse in the Bible. It says, for I, somebody shout, that means me. Come on, I, shout the word I. It says, for I can. It says, for I can. It doesn't have any qualifiers on the end of it. It just says, for I can. I can. I can do all things. How many things? I can do everything through Christ I can't do it in Tim's ability. I can't do it in my wife's ability. I can't do it in your ability. I can't do it because I've got some kind of fancy title out beside my name. I can't do it because of my education. I can't do it because of the color of my skin. I can't do it because of the economic status I came from or didn't come from. But the Bible says I can do everything through Christ. For he gives me the what? He gives me the strength. So that means the same strength that he gave Gideon is the same strength that he's promising to you and I today. Amen? The same I can that he gave Gideon is the same I can that you and I can grab a hold of that. Amen? What I can't do in the natural, God does in the supernatural. When I think I'm about ready to give up, God, I just rely on Philippians that I can. God, I can. When I'm walking through and all hell is breaking loose around me, I just lean on the I can of the Word of God. Amen? I lean on the I can of the Word of God. I got to know that despite all my weaknesses, despite all my insecurities, despite all the things that I face, the I can will show up on my behalf. Isn't that interesting that throughout the Bible, especially the Old Testament, that God showed up exactly that way to men and women that struggle with the same thing that you and I do? God, I don't know how you're going to, why would you use me? Why would you use me? I stutter. God, why would you use me? I'm from the wrong side of the tracks. God, why would you use me? I'm a woman. Think about all the great leaders. God, why would you use me? I cheated on my wife. God, why would you use me? Think about all the amazing leaders throughout just the Old Testament. God, why would you use me? I'm a cheat. I'm a tax collector cheat. God, why would you pick me? I'm a fisherman. I don't know anything about this gospel stuff. God, why would you use me? Throughout the Bible, God uses broken, imperfect people to accomplish his perfect will. See, God can do everything on his own. He used bushes. He used donkeys. I mean, you name it. He used rods. He used serpents. I mean, he used everything. But God chose to use people. God chose to use you, sir. God chose to use you, ma'am, to accomplish his purpose on earth. Last point. Come on, worship team. I got to know, as you and I are stepping into this new season as in our church, accomplishing all the things that God has spoken over us over the last 35 years for our church, for my family, for me as a leader, as a pastor, I got to know this truth. Gideon talked about it. The angel reminded Gideon many times. Third point is, God is with you. God is with you. God is with you. The angel had to sit there and remind Gideon that truth. It's not by your might. It's not by your strength. But it's me. It's God. I am God. I am with you. The same God that was with Moses, I'm with you. The same God that was with Joshua, I'm with you. The same God that you talked about, that that when things didn't look like they were supposed to go in the natural brain, the way they're supposed to be, God said, I am with you. For you see, the key to success, the key to you and I succeeding, the key to you and I stepping in and becoming all that God's called us to be, is know that God is with you and I'm not having to do it on my own. Isn't that a relief? When you're laying in bed, and Ange and I have talked about this often over the last few weeks, that God, unless you're with us, we can't do it on our own. Although we love you, we trust you, we pray for you as a church. As men and women, we have an incredible church. I don't really know how to build a church unless God is with us. There's a lot of great books. There's a lot of great videos. There's a lot of great men and women. But Angie and I have just made up our mind that God, you have to be with us. God, you have to be with us. For see, there's a difference in me just leading versus me leading with God's direction. For see, there's a difference when God is in it, when God is with us, when God is for us. I just don't buy into that. I don't buy into what other people say about who we are and about where we're going as a church. I don't buy into what people say over you and what people say over me. I don't buy into what I read on social media. I just declare that God, if you are with us, we will win. I just choose to believe that God, you are bigger than what I think. God, you are bigger than what I see in the natural. God, you're bigger than what my brain can wrap around. That God, you are with us. I want to listen. I want to hear the voice of the Lord. Like those disciples when they were fishing out on that boat. They've been going all night long. They hadn't caught diddly squat. See, they were the experts. They were fishermen. They knew all the places to fish. They knew all the hot spots. They knew where to lay down their nets because they had always caught fish. But there they were. They walked back in, dejected, defeated, frustrated, trying to figure out why they caught no fish. And then Jesus said, "Throw your nets down again." So I'm challenging us this morning as a church. I'm challenging you as a man, you as a woman, as husbands and wives, as sons and daughters, as families this morning. God, I'm hearing that voice of God speak over your lives, my life this morning. Throw down your nets again. And when they did, they caught a record harvest. They caught so many fish. If you remember, the boat started leaning, the nets started breaking. Why? Because they heard from the voice of God. I am with you. I don't want to do church without God. I don't want to do church without the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to do church just because it's Sunday. I want to do church, God, because you are with us. I want to go win the lost like never before. I want to go reach people that are unreachable. I want to go into the bars. I want to go into the homeless camps. I want to go into the million-dollar houses. Amen. I want to go into the workplaces. I want to go into Navy Federal. I want to preach the gospel like never before. I want to go into the schools and let them know there is a real thing. His name is Jesus. I want to reach men and women of all color, of all sizes, of all shapes, of all backgrounds. I just want to do the gospel, and I want to know that God is with us. For my Bible says to do two things: preach the gospel and make disciples. It doesn't get any more complicated than that, y'all. Preach the gospel, make disciples, regardless of where they came from. Regardless of what color their skin is, regardless of what baggage they drug in here, amen? I believe everyone has access to the grace, the mercy, the forgiveness, the salvation of Christ. For see, God is with you. God is with us, church. Stand to your feet. Woo. God is with us. God is with us. God is with us. I want us to do something right now. Will you meet me down front? Come on, hop out of your seat. I want to pray over our church right now. Come on, just make room. Just come as close as you can. Come on, come on, come on. If this church is your family, if God has called you here, or if today happens to be your first Sunday, well, you picked an amazing Sunday to be a part of our church. We pray that God calls you to be here. Amen. We call you that God calls you to be a part of this family. Come on, just squeeze on in. Just come down to the front. Make plenty of space. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want to pray over our house. I want to pray over you. That God knows where you're at. That God speaks to who you will become, and God is with you. I'm looking at faces all over this building this morning. I want you to know that God is doing something incredible on the inside of our hearts, our lives, and our church like never before. And you're part of that. You're part of that. Come on, will you close your eyes? Come on, I'm just gonna pray over you. Will you just stretch your hands towards heaven this morning? In the name of Jesus. Father, you see the hands lifted. Lord, you see the hearts, the lives, God. Lord, I speak right now, God, to destiny. God, I speak, Father God, vision over this incredible church, God. Young and old, black, white, and brown, God. Lord, jacked up and all put together. All we want to do, God, is to do your will, God, as a house. Lord, as a family, as a marriage, as a man, as a woman, God, as a young person. Father, I speak to destiny. I speak to purpose, God. And Lord, I declare right now, God, you are with us. Holy Spirit, I hear your voice in my spirit this morning, God. God is saying to throw your nets out again, Jubilee. Throw the nets out again. And God, you will bring the harvest. God, you will bring the harvest. Father, in the name of Jesus, we break off, we shake off, Father God, every bit of fear. Every bit of intimidation. Lord, any label, God, that I have put on myself or that others have put on me. And Father, I declare, God, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And Lord, I declare Philippians over this church like never before. I can do all things. I can do all things. You say it. I can do all things in Christ who gives me the strength. Shout it again. Say, I can do all things in Christ who gives me the strength. So, Father, we ask you right now, God, if we're weary in our mind, our heart, our soul, our body, give us the strength. Come on, if you're weary right now, I dare you just to lift your hands. Let God give you supernatural strength. Let him speak to who you are, not where you're at. Let the spirit of Gideon fall on our house like never before. Let the spirit of Gideon drop, Lord, upon a man this morning. You are a warrior. You are a deliverer. You are a mighty man, a mighty woman. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we declare our house, Father God, Lord, to be whole, to be healthy, to be full. And God, I pray, Holy Spirit, let it be like a magnet to the broken, the lost. Lord, let it be a magnet, Father God, to men and women, Lord, that have it all put together. Lord, to the talented, God, to the rich, to the poor, and everyone in between, Lord. We thank you right now, Holy Spirit. We pray for those, Father God, that are sick in their physical body. Lord, we declare, God, our house will be a hospital for the sick, God. Lord, our house will, Father God, be a hospital. Lord, your word says that, God, that we will see a day in which ambulances will pull up under our portico. And we'll lay hands on them. They will recover. They will be healed. So, Lord, we pray right now for signs, wonders, miracles, God. We release it in our house right now, God. Lord, release it in your people right now, God. Signs, wonders, miracles, God. Lord, we pray, Father God, Lord, this week for an encounter with you through your word, through prayer. Lord, we pray, God, Lord, for men and women, Lord, to come across our path. Students in the hallway, God. To come across our path where we can give the good news, the gospel. We declare that, Lord, let it be done. And Lord, we thank you in advance for what you're gonna do to us, through us, and for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, will you give the Lord just a mighty shout of praise? Oh, come on, you can do better than that. Oh, we bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord.
Hey, we're a church that Tim has prayed for, and